For decades, our first guest has been on the inside of many a political campaign and controversy. Officially, Mark Grebner is the president of Lansing's Practical Political Consulting. That's a campaign services and voter list organization. He serves as the firm's lead campaign consultant. He's also served more than three decades on the Ingham County Board of Commissioners, from which he retired a couple of years ago. Less officially, Grebner is an ardent liberal known widely for his political savvy and his irreverent, often provocative and off-the-cuff commentary. I caught up with him a few days ago to talk politics. I first asked Mark Grebner what he makes of the state's decision to eliminate straight-ticket voting.
In the first place, since the Republicans control absolutely everything in state government now, the courts at every level, both houses of the legislature, the governorship, they've taken to going back and kind of kicking us, the Democrats. And so each little thing that's in the election law that helps us in any way, they're going back and fixing. They're moving the dates of elections. They're moving the way that elections are conducted. They're changing the way voter registration occurs. They're just doing everything. And they always come up with some explanation, which they didn't think of before, but now that they've thought of it, they have an explanation. So they have an explanation for getting rid of straight ticket voting, which everybody pretty well agrees is a slight benefit to the Democratic Party and to the Democratic candidates.
A lot of opponents are using the word suppress to describe what this measure does. How exactly does it suppress votes? Is suppress really the right word?
I think suppress, you ought to have at least dogs and water cannons. And deputy sheriffs, they're sort of, you know, with standing around with whips or something.
So it doesn't quite rise to the level of suppress?
No, it's just that every way that they can, change the election law, you know, if there are two ways to do it and we were doing it one way and it helped the Democrats, they're going back through and fixing that.
40 or more states don't allow straight ticket voting. Would you say it's as politically motivated in those 40 states as you're suggesting that it is here in Michigan?
That's actually a red herring, the idea that other states do it some other way. Every state conducts elections in such complicated, different ways than anybody understands that it really isn't meaningful. The reason this is remarkable is that Michigan's a Democratic state. And for the Republicans to control the entire process really is an indication that either they are geniuses or we are complete nitwits.
Do you expect longer lines at the polls? A lot of clerks are anticipating that or seem to anticipate that.
There's a risk of a longer line, but lines at polls have to do, there are a lot of factors that go into lines. So that it would only be the presidential general election which would be affected because we don't see lines at other elections generally. And it would be in particular situations where there were very large numbers of voters and the precincts were badly drawn. I don't think it's exactly the Republicans' goals to create those lines. And I do think that the clerks are mainly worried because they just don't like even spot problems here and there.
Mark Grebner of Practical Political Consulting is our guest here on Current State. Michigan's presidential primary is set for March 8th. What kind of role will Michigan play next year?
Well, I don't know what kind of, if we'll have any real effect on the outcome, but I think it's going to be a really fun election here. We're going to be voting at almost the peak of interest. People love to be participating in a story, and this will be a story on both sides.
I've heard people claim just the opposite. I've heard there's going to be so many people winnowed out of the process by March 8th. All the sound and the fury will be behind us. You're not of that opinion.
Well, again, I don't know how important Michigan's vote will be. I'm not saying that our vote will be determinative of anything. Might be, might not be. But I'm saying that by the time we vote, that there will be candidates who are up and there will be candidates who are down. There will be candidates who are coming, trying to launch a comeback. There will be media storylines everywhere. And remember, our voting starts 45 days before March 8th because the absentee ballots are mailed out. And so the absentee ballots will be mailed out and in people's hands before the people vote in Iowa or New Hampshire. I really just think that we're going to have a huge turnout in this state. And there's the possibility of a large Democratic crossover on behalf of maybe Donald Trump. I just think we're going to have a very interesting election. The largest turnout we've ever had in a presidential primary. That's my guess.
If you had to guess, how many Republican candidates would you expect to be on the ballot on March 8th?
Well, we already know how many there will be because it's too late to withdraw.
But how many do you think will have dropped out of the race by then?
How many will look like they're not pathetic losers who are, you know, basically serving as doormats for the other ones? Oh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 real Republican candidates at that point. Maybe we'll say 5.
And you anticipate Democrats playing a role in determining the GOP candidate. What exactly do you anticipate here?
Well, on the Democratic side, we have this very interesting race between Hillary and Bernie, and nobody really thinks that Bernie has a chance, and so it's more or less just like a play, you know, where we can go and you can cheer for Bernie or you can vote for the establishment. So the Democrats don't really have their heart in their primary. It'll be interesting enough to vote in. You can vote in it, you know. But it won't really mean much because we can all see that Bernie doesn't have the legs to run a long race.
But you anticipate Democrats voting for Trump, hoping to get him elected.
Or possibly for Cruz. And we're like the cavalry. We don't know where we'll show up. But we're mounted, and we might just send a detachment of cavalry to help one or the other side.
Okay.
I'm personally have a warm spot in my heart for Cruz. But we don't have to make that decision until March 5th or so, and then we all have to decide, you know, would 100,000 votes for Don Trump cause more grief than doing something else on that day? Now, there will be 1 million Republican votes cast. I don't want to make it sound like the Democrats will overwhelm it. But even in a world where there are 1 million Republican votes, if there are 100,000 Democrats available to cause mischief, we could cause quite a bit of mischief.
If the primary were held today, who would you bet on? Besides Hillary, I mean, on the Republican side.
Well, if you actually held the election today, I guess Don Trump would actually win in Michigan. I think the polls are roughly right there. There hasn't been polling specific to Michigan that's been very good, but I believe the national numbers are about right.
What would you say is the most likely? So the most likely presidential matchup next year, would you say, is Trump versus Clinton?
No, I don't think that Don can really survive this process. I mean, there are all sorts of technical problems he'll run into. The Republican Party...
You talk about him like he's an old friend of yours.
I have watched the Donald, as has most of America, for many years. I have been appalled by him, I'd say, for 30 years. I think that people ought to look at his past and realize that he doesn't actually ever finish anything. He's a salesman. He sells things. And my guess, and I'm being sort of mean here, but my guess is that he's really looking for a deal. And you know, it can involve money, it can involve TV networks, but Don will get off the stage here pretty soon, and somebody will have bought him out. And that's really, that's true of his real estate ventures, of his casinos. Really, this isn't about running the country. Don is just there for Don. So I don't think that he's the most likely Republican nominee. I would guess probably Rubio is the person who has the highest probability of being the nominee.
Well, how would a Clinton-Rubio matchup unfold, do you think?
In Michigan or in the country?
In the country.
I kind of expect that Hillary would win that. I'm not sure, but I think the Democrats have some advantages here, and I think that older Republican and independent women will find themselves voting for Clinton, even if they don't think they will today. So I think that she'll show quite a bit more strength than people imagine. We'll see.
Mark Grebner's our guest here on WKAR's Current State. You spent many years on the Ingham County Board of Commissioners, and as author of the county ethics policy, I'm obligated to ask you about the recent troubles in the IT department. Two of its main people were let go recently for accepting tickets to sporting events from county vendors. Is no one paying attention to your policy?
No, I'd say just the opposite. When that surfaced, people pulled out the policy and discovered that there was almost nothing in it that was of any use, but they kept reading through it until they finally found a sentence or two they could hang them with. They thought about the ethics policy a lot. Ingham County has a really pretty good reputation. And if you think about what these people did, they didn't take cash bribes. They didn't demand bribes. They didn't steal anything. They just kind of developed good friendships with the people who were selling for these companies. And you know, their good friends invited them to sporting events and picked up the tab for this and that. I mean, it probably involved, if it was $1,000, I'd be surprised. And it just sort of subverted the purchasing efforts of the county and, you know, probably damaged computerization of various functions. I mean, in other words, it probably harmed county efforts, and it certainly made other vendors think that there was no track for them to ever be considered. I mean, it was exactly the sort of thing that ethics policy is aimed at. But I don't think that if we took this down to Detroit and talked about Bobby Ferguson and Kwame and Monica Conyers, and you asked them about sporting tickets to hockey games, they would be appalled, and not because of the lack of ethics. Try to get Monica Conyers to throw you a sludge hauling contract by promising her a hockey ticket sometime. I defy you.
Would you say that there is a sufficient awareness of ethics policy on among the Ingham County Board of Commissioners here in the aftermath of this IT thing? Did it raise the profile of your ethics policy because of this?
Oh, yes. Whenever there's a scandal, it brings people back to thinking about the principles. The Ingham policy is actually quite bizarre, and nobody knows how unusual it is. Nobody has ever wanted to copy it. I wrote that 20 years ago, and people occasionally ask for copies, and they walk away appalled when they see it. It says things, and I'll just give you an example.
What? Yeah, why?
Well, for example, in typical counties, if you go into the county board office, you will discover that whoever's sitting there as a secretary or a board aide is, of course, related to the chair of the board, because that person was hired because it's the board chair's girlfriend or son-in-law or whatever. That's the way it works. In Ingham County, not only do we not hire relatives, we have a policy of discriminating against the relatives of members of the Board of Commissioners. We have a policy of discriminating against the friends of Board of Commissioners members. We have a policy that if a member of the Board of Commissioners calls the HR department and says, I noticed that application, you're taking applications for the nurse practitioner in the health department, the HR person's job involves saying, Commissioner, I do not feel comfortable talking about this with you. I don't think we should discuss this.
You put that together?
Yes, and the board adopted it unanimously, and we do not employ the relatives of county commissioners. Not just that we don't employ them specially, we disqualify them from employment. How about that for weird?
They are overtly disqualified.
They're not absolutely prohibited because there are some situations in which we can't stop it, but we do not hire former county commissioners, okay? They say that Ingham County has a policy of discriminating against former county commissioners for permanent employment. Okay?
But are the members of the Board of Commissioners really aware of the depth of this?
Sometimes,
how comprehensive this is?
Sometimes they forget, and then something like the current little scandal, which I would call like a mini scandal, brings them back to attention and reminds them of the rigors. Ingham County actually has a very proud record of avoiding substantive scandals. And so that when we have a scandal, it involves the IT director accepting hockey tickets from a vendor. I mean, there are plenty of former county commissioners who could be consultants and who could be hired. I mean, for example, myself, right? I have never gotten a nickel, and it's not just because I wouldn't want to. Hell, I'd be happy to take some, right? The ethics policy of Ingham County strongly discourages hiring, even as contractors, the companies of former county commissioners and their relatives and friends.
We've attempted to follow the Ingham Health Plan situation, which appears to have been subject to some mismanagement, the projections over how many people would participate in a post-Obamacare landscape, the wisdom of a millage continuation. Any response to how the dust is settled on this whole situation?
I think the Board of Commissioners ought to admit that the Ingham Health Plan is history and it's not the future. But once you start a program, it's very hard to stop it. Once you have a millage, it's very hard to say, we're not going to levy it anymore. It was the sort of thing when I was on the board that I did. And it got me a reputation for being ruthless and mean and unscrupulous. But everybody on the current Board of Commissioners is much too nice to say, no, we're not going to levy that anymore. We're going to lay off those people. We're going to end the program. So instead of that, they just allow it to kind of drift on. But they ought to admit that the millage was approved in a different environment before we knew the contours of Obamacare. And now that we know those contours and we know what the real needs are out there, they ought to wrap up the millage, stop levying it, and they ought to propose a different millage maybe for a different purpose. But that millage is no longer serving any valid purpose, in my opinion.
What are you reading these days?
A two-volume biography of William Butler Yeats. The Master Poet is the volume I'm on. I don't think anybody will care about that.
Pollster, Politico, Raconteur, Bon Vivant, Mark Grebner of Practical Political Consulting has been our guest. Thank you.
Thank you.